Hey, how your mom and dad? Welcome to the Far Reaches podcast. We are four friends from Eastern Oregon who've traveled the world and wound up scattered across the U.S. Join us as we get together to talk about current events, old events, agriculture, politics, movies, books, stocks, love, and even a little bit of life. No, we don't always agree, but we stay friends and even enjoy a few laughs. We think you will too, so come on along and enjoy the ride. And don't forget, keep on reaching. And hey, don't forget to stop by our special friends at B&K Auto Salvage, who help bring this podcast to you each and every week. Folks, with over 1,200 used vehicles in stock and a large selection of 4x4 parts available, that's always being updated. B&K Auto Salvage is your Eastern Oregon one-stop shopping for the automotive world. And be sure to listen very close every week for the Far Reaches promo code that's going to get you discounted pricing and bumps on those prices on that scrap. So that's our good friends at B&K Auto Salvage. Make sure you told them the Reacher sent you, and listen every week for the promo code to get extra savings.
I'm still doing pretty cool.
Hey, how your mom and them? Welcome to Far Reaches podcast. I didn't wonder why I'm laughing so hard, because we were on live on Facebook for a moment, but it was like, caught, as Richard would say, like a Christopher Nolan movie loop. So I'm impatient today, so I just said stop and we'll catch it up again. So welcome to Far Reaches, brought to you by our good friends at B&K Auto Salvage. Bo, we can't thank you guys enough and your team for supporting us. They're located at a beautiful Grand Ronde Valley there in Baker City and LeGrand. So be sure to give them a howdy. We need to get a new Reacher code for you, but that's coming soon. I'll get a hold of Bo. That's on me. Still stop in, tell me you're a fan of the Reachers, and they'll hook you up. That's going to be a bump on your scrap prices and a discount on your pull parts. So welcome. Hi, Micah. That is Richard. We are half of the Far Reaches team. Good day, Mr. Bradbury. How are you?
Good day. I'm good.
We're coming. I'm live in Florida. Richard's live. I don't know where. Where are you at, Bradbury?
I'm in Oregon.
Oregon. Outstanding. So welcome back.
So blurry. I guess it's the light, but this is the best place for me to hook up. So
oh, okay then.
Oh, we're live now.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, so if we're still live, that's outstanding. Yeah, beautiful. We'll figure it out. It says live as well, so we're just keep on keeping on. I'm not a smart man, so I'm not telling you guys that, but we'll figure it out. So yeah. Well, it's been a while. We all been going in circles and everything you can imagine. You know, life sometimes gets in the way of all this other stuff we're going to do. So I will do one quick reminder too while we're still getting started off. Had an awesome Reacher mail from newest member of the Far Reaches family, Dylan Pettyjohn. Said he's been traveling all over the West, down into Texas, working at some ranches, and he's been listening to all of season 3, and now he started on season 2. I'm like, damn, you're kind of going the wrong direction. You should have started at 1 if you really want to see an improvement. And so, but yeah, it's some good comments. He's been down in Hill Country and says he really likes that too. And then but most importantly, that he disagrees with Joel also that, you know, civilized people wear undershirts under their regular shirts, as does he as well. So I wanted to make sure I gave Dylan a shout out right from the beginning so I didn't get distracted during this episode. So Dylan, thanks for listening. You're a tough man to listen to all those episodes back to back. So it must have been a hell of a long drive to require that. So
I'm confused. What's the appropriate to wear an undershirt or not wear an undershirt?
It is appropriate, yes. He referenced one of our episodes because Joel was giving me hell because I had an undershirt on. He's like, how can you wear undershirts all the time? That's not right. So Dylan says, yeah, I wear them too. And most normal people do, Joel. So I'm getting used to it.
I'm in Joel's crowd.
It's okay. Yeah.
Occasionally I do, but I never wear white. Some tone that matches the shirt.
Oh, interesting. I like the stark contrast of the white shirts. Yeah. And recently I went to I got 10 of the same blue button up Oxford shirts for work. Like, I'm just going to wear those every day. That's my office attire. Yeah. So
color. Same color.
Yep. Same exact shirt. Yeah. 10 of them.
You'd be amazed how much that drives people crazy.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. Hey, didn't you wear that yesterday? Well, I wore a version of this. Yes. So
I normally sport the black t-shirt, and it is incredibly hard to find black t-shirts. Like,
it is.
You go to Walmart, the shelves are completely stripped of all types of t-shirts.
I got this one from Veteran Television. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it's not like black classic. Black. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the classic black, and you cannot find them. I've been looking for them for 3 months, so this is why I have this gray one on, because to get black ones, I had to buy 3 gray ones. So,
anyway. Did this throw in a black one, or are you doing some kind of mixing with your socks and stuff to get the black shirt?
You get 3. You used to be able to get like a package of 12 Hanes Cool, mm-hmm. some sort of Cool Max t-shirt pack, and it was great. And inflation and supply chain things ruined it, so I don't know if I'm living the American dream anymore.
It is a stumbling block. I like got a whole bunch of new white, like really nice Duluth Trading undershirts. They make nice undershirts, kind of stretchy, cool. So yeah, it was just that time. Sometimes you just got to revamp, you know. So
as you can tell, Far Reach has now been reimagined as a haberdashery show.
Absolutely right. It's all about the finer things and reaching out. Yeah. So we'll be talking about trousers next week. So be sure to tune into that one. Yeah. And while you're at it, look up haberdashery. So
pleats to the inside or the outside?
Ooh, that's too controversial looking for Far Reaches. So you might want to take it easy. Yeah. Just saying. Yeah. How we got off on that little track, but like, well, so I guess we can start with the reach around. That would kind of lead into this, don't you think?
Oh yeah, that's good.
Well, I'll start, because that's one of the reasons I bought a lot of new clothes, because I had I got a chance to go to Rotterdam for the World Congress on Applied Genetics and Livestock. Happens every few years. It was in New Zealand last time I got to go. I think it was maybe Canada, but I don't think it skipped a year. So it's from people from all around the world come there to talk about anything you think about. It's like genetics, genomics, all the breeding processes, et cetera, for all things livestock of all species. So there was around 1,500 people in person. I think there's a decent amount of people you could join online and watch as well. Some people I hadn't seen since New Zealand. So it was some good reunions. The booth for my company was right next to the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation, or the ICBF. And so all my fine Irish lad friends were right next door. So we had a grand time.
Jiminy Christ.
Oh, Jesus. Let me tell you, Richard, it was amazing. Yeah. It was outstanding. Very much so. So yeah, that was amazing. Long flights to get there, all sorts of fun and excitement. Getting into Amsterdam, then taking the train down to Rotterdam, which was really fun. Except for the return flight. So they had like 4-hour lines at the airports to get your bags checked and all, just because people were not working and stuff. And so we had a huge final dinner the last night there that went till about 1 o'clock in the morning. So about midnight, I scampered out, walked to my hotel, packed up everything, took a shower, got dressed, put my phone on my chest with about 9 alarms because I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning so I could be at the train station in time to catch the 3 a.m. train to Amsterdam so I could get in line so I could get on my 8 o'clock flight Saturday morning back home. And so come stumbling into the train station and I'm just getting ready to go to the little turnstile thing, you know, and these two ladies walk up like, excuse me, sir, are you going to the airport? It's like, yeah, like they just canceled the train. I'm like, what? No, they didn't. So I pull out my app, sure as hell, train canceled. Next one's not till 4 a.m. I'm like, what's going on? Like, we're going to get an Uber. Do you want to split it with us? I'm like, I've seen bad movies start like this and internet rumors and Facebook stories. And so I'm like, well, either I'm going to wake up in a bathtub of ice and no kidney, or I'll make it to the airport. And so they start dying laughing. Like, no, here's the Uber app right here. I'm like, whatever, let's just go. So yeah. So I caught an Uber with these two ladies, made it to the airport, got in line and met some other poor gal I was standing in line behind me, and she's just like a mess. You know, she's just like, she's like, you speak English? I'm like, yeah. what's going on? She goes, how long you been here? I'm like, about 10 minutes. So she starts telling me her story, and she's trying to get to Seattle. And she's like, I'm from Walla Walla. I'm not sure if you know where that's at or not. And I'm like, I'm from Lakeview, and I've lived in Pendleton a long time. I know where Walla Walla is at. She's like, oh, my God. Yeah. So I got her calmed down and through the line, but ended up making it on the flight and getting home on time. But still, it was, you know, 2:30 a.m. at the train station. Like, I'm just getting into an Uber with two random women because we're headed to the same airport. So it's one of those fine adventures. Yeah. Yeah, that's been one of the highlights. And then had some good friends in town. Colby and Shelly came down to visit for a couple of days. So I hung out with them. And then, there's some other stuff. We'll talk about that in a bit. I'll say, I don't want to get everything away at the beginning. Yeah. So what about you, Mr. Brad Burr?
Well, I have to apologize to the Reacher crowd because it's my fault that we've had a hiatus. So anyways, I asked the other guys if we could take a little break or they could continue on without me, and they did it. So I guess I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
The disruption's sort of getting down to dull roar and things are getting back on track. So, and then I got cornered at a 6-year-old's birthday party in Flush, Oregon, wondering what the hell had happened to Far Reaches and why was there no more episodes. And I thought, well, if I'm getting searched out in a town that has no cell service and getting grief about Far Reaches not being on, then I guess I better get back on the stick. And so anyway,
it's kind of humbling. It's very inspiring and very humbling, but it's also like, holy crap, don't you people have anything else going on? No, it's way cool.
I have an airport story from May. Yeah.
This May? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I flew down to Dallas for the Texas or the National Grass Fed Exchange, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
We're miserable. I only got to spend one day there. I got to see Nicole Masters, which was amazing. She did a great speak. And the reason that I decided to go down was Fred Provenza was speaking. Which,
oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Fred Provenza is amazing in person as he is a writer and a professor and a studier of all things ecological. So had a nice visit with him. I'd met some of his proteges over the course of some years, but never met the actual man. So really good. And just ran into a lot of cool people in the regenerative world that I knew of and some new people. And so I made it the whole day. My flight got canceled at the end of the day. I would have had to stay in Dallas for 2 more days or take the next morning's flight out. So I went briefly to the session on the carbon market, which I really wanted to get into with the people at that. It raised a little bit of a kerfuffle and then had to leave the building and get my plane.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyways, we've been doing a lot of stuff, work on the carbon market exchange. And actually, I was talking to the guy that we're working on a contract right now today, this afternoon. And it's just interesting with the inflation and the pending recession, or probably I can't see how we're going to get into stagflation. I think we're just going to go straight into the recession.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how viable the carbon market is going to be, but you know, work through it anyways. But my plane story I had a plane story, but the same, because the plane flying and even domestically, or I can't imagine, it's a mess. They cancel flights all the time.
Oh.
And then what really annoys me is they had this whole push to when they start charging for bags, so that everybody started traveling more economically. And like, I don't even travel anywhere I just take an AWOL bag and my briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if I have a sports jacket for the event or something, I wear that, and usually just a t-shirt. And I took my cowboy hat down to cowboy hats are a pain to travel with.
Dude, yeah. I was like, why don't you bring your hat, dude? I'm like, because I didn't want to buy it a seat. That's why. Like,
yeah. So anyways, we get to Denver, and things are, like, questionable. And that I'm going to make it to Reno. And I sort of expected that. Anyway, so we do finally get on the plane. And, of course, they're doing the whole thing. Like, you need to check in your carry-on baggage because the overhead compartments are full. And that annoys the hell out of me because I redid all the way I travel just so I could travel light and not be inconvenienced for anybody. I'm like, I walk up to the thing, I scan my phone, and the lady goes, I'll check that baggage for you. And I'm like, nope. Walk on. Anyways, I don't know how many times I've been stuck in Denver where I put my carry-on baggage on a flight and ended up in a hotel room without my carry-on baggage. I'm done with it. Either stop charging people for luggage or figure something out. But it's getting ridiculous.
Oh yeah, it's quite fun. That's when I had planned on traveling light to Rotterdam because I can ninja pack and be like carry on, no problem. And then I had to take some stuff for their booth. I had some literature and this and that and the other. And I was like, okay, that's going to put me into a check bag. So then you bring extra shit because you're checking a bag anyways. Because I got delayed I flew out of Orlando. I know this is a riveting conversation for everybody home. Out of Orlando to Minneapolis and then to Amsterdam. So we're still on the tarmac in Orlando because there was so many rainstorms when my flight out of Minneapolis left. So I was like, well, the adventure begins. So we take off and you can get on the Wi-Fi then. And I'm looking to, you know, get all flight alternatives and like, let's see, what should I pick? One flight's like, okay, you can leave Minneapolis at 7 a.m. You'll be on three different connecting flights. And you're like, you know, the last seat in coach by the bathroom. I'm like, that doesn't sound as much fun. And it gets in at like noon to Rotterdam. I was like, I scroll down a ways and like 7 p.m. direct to Amsterdam, first class upgrade, and you get in at like 1 p.m. I was like, I think I'll take that one. Yeah. So I had to hang out. I actually rented a car and drove over to Wisconsin and saw some friends I used to work with when I worked in Wisconsin, hung out for the day, and then drove back and got my flight and got there a day later. So but yeah, my whole point being in that ramble was I had checked bag when I got to the airport. Like they're like, it's already on a plane somewhere or something, sir. So we don't have it. So, but here's your little, I did get like a little canvas bag from the Delta Sky Club that has like a bamboo toothbrush and like, I don't know, about that much toothpaste and a stick of deodorant for probably, I don't know, a 3-year-old, but better than poking the eye. Yeah. So nothing like starting international travel with the same clothes you had on the day before.
Well, I think that, I mean, it might be boring for everybody, but this is just the quality of our life now.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I do carry always spare underwear and a t-shirt though. I always have my computer bag with me. So worst case, like you can still like take a, you know, Navy shower in the bathroom somewhere and just change your underwear if nothing else. And then jettison those to the good of the order. And yeah, that's a huge refresh right there. Yet another reason to wear an undershirt. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, everything's screwed up. It's crazy moving around in the world anymore.
So. Oh, dude. Let me tell you, man.
Really inconvenienced, but I think the rest of the world's got a little worse than us. But
There's no doubt about that, man. Yeah. That's one good reminder when you go somewhere else. You're just like, you know, it's still really damn good. Yeah.
Well, like crazy things in like lemonade. You can't get lemonade. And I got a bag of groceries today that usually cost me around $38, and it was almost $60.
Mm-hmm.
And like in these small towns, you just get hammered. Like the difference between the cost of food in Lakeview and the cost of food in Clown Falls is a good example is I buy the Amish butter rolls. I don't know if anybody's familiar with them. It's a gob of butter. Like maybe 4 or 5 cups of butter. Anyways, Lakeview, the price is like $13. And you go over to Klamath and it's $7.
So, for 96 miles of difference?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. But I also like to support everybody local, but yeah, I've been becoming increasingly a fan of Costco.
Most definitely. Yeah. Well, I'm a Sam's Club man myself, but bulk buying, bulk purchase, if you will. Yeah.
And then my other new strategy for the new world is I have stopped buying jeans from anywhere but eBay.
Oh, intriguing.
Yes. Because my jeans are costing, the jeans I like to wear are like $100.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get a good used pair or one that something happened, like somebody got and didn't return or something, for like $30. And I'm like, yep, I'm done with the, yeah.
With new retail jeans.
He goes, you don't know who wore these. I'm like, I can live with that for $70 price.
Wash them, pretty much be okay. Never guarantee that if you buy them from somewhere else, somebody hasn't worn them already either. Like, I don't know.
And like, I really wanted to, I wouldn't want to get used jeans from me because, you know, I'm turning in my grandfather. 5 days is a good use of jeans.
There you go. Yeah. I have a pretty elaborate rotation system, but it averages out to about that. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. It's all, you know, it's all the color of the hanger and where it's at in the closet and how many times it's been worn.
Yeah.
Probably easier just to do laundry every other day, but still.
He didn't like to wash his jeans because they wore out faster.
They do. That's a fact. Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah. But, you know, eventually you can't stand to be in them. So there's that. So that's a good indicator.
Yeah, you got to question it if they're borderline for like 2 days before you decide. Yep, they're over borderline now.
Which I'm pretty sure is how Febreze originally got invented. It wasn't for like nasty pet overs. It was like people that just didn't want to do laundry.
Oh, can I tell my Febreze story?
Well, I don't see why not. We're not sponsored by them yet, so sure.
One of the greatest mind twists of all time. So the original Febreze came out. It was unscented.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so nobody was buying Febreze. So the purpose of Febreze was originally to be unscented.
Yes, the scent neutralizer. Yeah, exactly.
So in order to increase sales or get sales, they had to add smells to it. And once they added like lemon and I don't know what else they added right out of the gate, like, I don't know, potpourri, then Febreze started selling like amazing and like took off. And it's one of the most successful Procter & Gamble products of all time. And then, so about 5 years ago, they came out with an unscented version of Febreze.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
People forget about it. Yeah, it's like this whole thing was like it would neutralize odors and be odorless. And everyone's like, yeah. I don't know if it's working or not. Do you smell anything? No. But how do I know it's working? Ah, aneurysm. Yeah.
I always thought that was one of the better marketing stories.
Like, we have to adapt, gentlemen. We have to adapt. Nobody likes how it doesn't smell. So.
Same book, random. I'm sorry. I'm just talking.
Is this in a book?
You're going to have to tolerate me until I get back on track. But
this is a good data download from Richard, though. We've all been craving this.
The success of a song doesn't necessarily depend on its quality. It depends on the two songs that are before and after it.
As far as on the record or like when you're listening to it on the radio?
If you get it on Spotify or if you mm-hmm. get it on... So, companies actually pay more to have their song associated with hit songs and be wedged in between two, like hit songs, than just be with a couple media over songs. So there's a big strategy into how to place new music into the market.
I'm sure, because everybody thinks it's so handy when you're on Spotify or free version of Apple Music or whatever, that you can thumbs up or thumbs down a song or this and that, the other, like. Well, we're learning what you like and how to play songs for you. So thank you, Traveler. And then they can charge for that data where to put the best song on. So
I will be ever thankful for Spotify for introducing me to Charlie Crockett.
I bet. Yeah.
I don't think I would have found him on my own. So.
Well, that is a good point. It is useful. I mean, I just ignore the fact that I am the product. Facebook, Instagram, everywhere, LinkedIn, you know, all those things. Hey, this is handy and free and I like it. Well, that's because I'm the product, but it's okay. I'll use you as well and we'll just call this a square deal.
Yeah, I'm okay with Spotify.
You said you read that in a book. Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which book?
I can't remember the book. I'm sorry.
No, that'd be a great title, by the way. That way people would never forget it.
Yeah. No, but it was really informative. So
I like it. Yeah. Speaking of books, I have to brag a little bit because I've recently started, seeing a woman who is actually a published author. It's quite cool, I must say, to be mentally ninja'd at any given moment. Yes. Yes. She also does pharmacogenomics, which I didn't even know it was until I met her. So we met at a genomics deal, but it's quite interesting. So it's mentally amazing. Yeah.
What is pharmacogenomics?
I can't get into it now, but it's usually genomics and to couple with pharmaceutical combinations. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's strong correlations apparently. So I've not read all the books yet, but it's quite intriguing. Well, I'll update you when I know more. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But did she write a book about that or did she write fiction?
No, books about that. I'm encouraging the fiction side too, though. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do some real Michael Cretan stuff with that.
Exactly. Totally, dude. Yeah. Absolutely. We shall see. Yeah. But we play trivia. That's a pretty good team. Yeah. Nice. we could probably get top five at the bench at any given time. Yeah.
Nice. I haven't got to go to the lake today. There's a new trivia night at the Elks in Lakeview. I haven't got to go yet.
So. Oh, cool. I forgot how much I liked trivia. That was like some high points of college, just going to the bench and trivia boards and, you know, just the leaving. We would go there, play trivia. Oh, got to go to class and then come back and play trivia. Yeah.
So there's this national trivia game that are in a lot of bars, and we played it in like three bars in Midland, and it's called Geeks Who Drink.
Oh, and really?
They release a new set of trivia for that week. And it's super sweet. And I like the game boards back in the day at the bench and the TVs and everything, but I'd rather go once a week to live trivia and play against other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. This place we go, you download a thing on your phone and then like you hook up to their like Wi-Fi network. And then it gets shot over that to your phone. So
right on.
It's kind of handy. Yeah.
Yeah. The geeks who drink, it's all a lot of, you got to write a lot of stuff out. So I always have to have somebody that can spell.
Oh, that's crap.
All right. Well, I derailed this conversation. So
I think that's what everybody's kind of come to expect and love. Yeah, admire. So I think I was doing my reach around. I'm pretty much done. So you can give us your update. Or did you give up reach too? Did you give your reach around?
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't have to ask that, Richard, if you really gave a strong, you know.
Yeah. No, I was just talking about but we're in a drought, but we magically had all the water fall at the right times.
Oh, yeah. Good.
The water came at just the right times. And between the storms and the snowpack and the coldness and the warmness of the days, we have one of our best hay crops ever. But water,
no kidding.
Yeah. So I don't like to sound it. Other people in the state and the West have it a lot worse than we do. And we are definitely still in a drought. And we're now experiencing that drought. But we, in Lake County, we're extremely fortunate in the randomness of weather.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. It just makes you realize how fucking we are completely. We think that we got our hand on the rudder in this life, but we have absolutely no control as to where we're careening to.
We are tied to the mast and just along for the ride, dude.
And if you think that you have any control over anything in natural resources, I'm sorry for you. Go to have tragedy in your life.
Well, what's that saying? It's one of my, I should know it better because it's one of my favorite things. Like, if you think you're, you know, big and in charge, try ordering somebody else's dog around. It's kind of the same thing of like, try figuring out what the weather's going to do. Not, you know, that you just do the freaking best you can. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was I'm the water district president. So it's been an education.
Bless your heart. Yeah.
Since getting into real estate, I've got to do a lot of really cool stuff. Well, how you say, I think it's cool because it's engaging for my mind, but actually some of the stuff that people try and pull off with water is absolutely mortifying.
Mm.
About as shady as it gets. And there's this, I've been thinking about water probably nonstop for 6 months. So I could just talk about it all the time, but.
Well, that's fine. That's a good place to start.
Yeah. Anyways, there is a certain type of person in the United States right now that is beginning to understand the value of water, and they're not agriculture people.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a nuanced thing that, and you know, I took a water law class, which was amazing. And such a great background from Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher. Can't remember his name. Overmiller?
Fred Overmiller. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, completely amazing. And I ran my mouth and was an asshole the whole time, but I really did learn a lot of stuff.
Yes. It was a great class.
Yeah. It was an amazing class. And so I'm so thankful that I have that background. But as you as you broaden your vision of what water is, begin to realize how little control there is over water in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And really, agriculture is the only industry that has a formal, I guess, agriculture and municipalities, and maybe to a certain extent, oil field, but not oil, oil field, and maybe some other random ones, but we really don't regulate one of our most precious resources much. And while we have really good laws and structures, what's what you gotta love about America, because what makes us wealthy is our property rights system, but to a certain extent, what also makes property and agriculture land worthy is that anchoring of water rights to the property and a set of rules that lets everybody guide by that. Now, as water comes loose, then you start to see all these other industries where it's not regulated. And you also see people challenging the water rights system. And
mm-hmm.
It's just, there's the future, I really think, and that you read geopolitical books about this, but nobody ever can contextualize it because it's never happened. But the strife and the economics that I think that's going to be around water in the next, well, for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Is it's going to dwarf like markets that we thought 10 years ago were the biggest thing.
It's the sole source of everything that we do, one way, shape, or form. I mean,
it's interesting. On LinkedIn, I did a breakdown on the amount of water that we use for servers, the amount of water that we use so that we can do this,
mm-hmm.
so that we can have Instagram, so that we can have LinkedIn, so that we can have TikTok. And and just the amount of data. So we're gathering all this data. Well, all that data and all those social media platforms, it takes a tremendous amount of water, and it's growing 60% every year.
So they have to cool the servers with water?
Yep.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
There's a huge kerfuffle going on in Merrill County right now.
Mm-hmm. I bet so.
There's cheap power in the Dalles Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Access in the Columbia to copious amounts of water. And there's no... So my question is, there's no water rights on the water that they're pulling out of the Columbia. As far as I understand, I'd love to be corrected. So you have this this industry that's exponentially growing by times two every year and putting in 100 of acres of server farms and consuming all this water, and whether they turn it back into agriculture. But I, some guy on my thing that I broke down said that 2/3 of it goes to evaporation.
I would think, yeah. If that's what it's used for cooling, you would think so, yeah.
So while we debate about whether Elon bought Twitter or Jordan Peterson got kicked off Twitter or anything, the real menace, the real dark side of social media and all this data and all this stuff is we're basically stealing water from what it takes to feed ourselves.
Well, because like I never made that connection in my head that you would need water for cooling of all that stuff, you know, to function. It's like that's a weird combination in my brain of like digital world and actual world. And the way that that's connected now is making my brain hurt, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but as these platforms grow, they're very hungry for energy and for resources. And in a time of inflation where we have no energy and we have no we have a limited amount of resources getting to us, we're keeping this digital boat afloat at the cost of our own well-being.
Isn't there a synthetic coolant that could be used? I mean, I'm just like, well, why water?
Yeah, there's a company, and well, it's the cheapest way to do it.
Apparently.
Least resistant. Like, there's a company in Utah that's trying to make servers that don't need water to cool. Or I'm sure there's circulation systems so that there's
have to be. Yeah, I would think
2/3 of your water on your inefficient practice now, you're gonna have to tighten the loop up considerably. So and Oregon, I think, is gonna be the epicenter of it. So it's gonna be make for some really interesting debates. And there are already people looking at submerging whole server farms underneath like the ocean.
That seems bad.
It's an interesting thing.
I mean,
what blows my mind is not only is all this collection of data, and I'm going to throw collection of data like Google and all and social media rewiring our brains, it's also basically lowering our quality of living in the natural world.
Mm-hmm. That's usually what I always say. You look at this hand and this one's the one taking your wallet. So, you know, like for me, not remotely connecting the digital and the physical world in that regard and how they're relying on each other. Lesson learned again. Yeah.
Phone call come in. I missed what you said.
Oh, I was just talking about, you know, they always say, yeah, you're looking at this hand. This one's the one taking your wallet, you know, when you're distracted over here. So like the whole thing about this is the digital world. It's, you know, there should be no connection into the physical world of like, you would not assume that natural resources are tied to digital uptake. Obviously falsely, but.
To simplify it the most, there is no ones and zeros don't created without natural resources.
Which is.
So to have ones and zeros, yeah. You need photosynthesis, you need it to grow somewhere, or you need to harvest it from the earth. And rare earth minerals, same with the batteries for the
For sure. Now that absolutely resonates in my brain.
There's a huge disparity in what we think we're doing and what we're actually doing.
Absolutely. I think electric cars are cool and all. I mean, great technology, like interesting, like high torque, etc. I mean, that's essentially what an engine on a train is. It's the diesel engine is running the generator that's making electricity to run the motors. However, I find it somewhat, I'll say even more hypocritical when everybody's pushing electric vehicles when we can't even get through a full summer or full winter in most major states without having brownouts or people need to conserve energy to run air conditioning and everything else. And so now you want to put 10 times that pressure on a grid that's not working already. Let's think about that before we get too carried away and really want to, you know, because then I put on my aluminum foil hat and I'm like, okay, everybody's on that grid. Next thing you know, Big Brother's like, yeah, you guys aren't going anywhere, and they turn off all the power, and then all you have is a huge paperweight and you can't go anywhere.
And the other question you got to ask yourself, you and I as Xers, we have evolved from the beginning of the internet to where it is now.
True.
Honestly say, and all the data and all this, like the data analytics and all this data that we gather in the clouds and the ones and zeros, can you honestly say that that data has increased the quality of your life since before the internet?
Not enough to outweigh all the other crap, I don't believe. Not at all. No, I mean, I certainly don't, like, well, we talk about it all the time. You know, we used to memorize like whole lists of phone numbers. We would know because that's really the only way you could call somebody. You either had to write it down or you just remembered that so-and-so's number was 947-3105 or 2555 or well, whatever, 3614. You know, those are all real numbers, by the way. And now, shit, I barely remember my own phone number, let alone anybody else's, you know? Yeah, so I know. Granted, we get to do stuff like this and share stuff all the time. But, like, is that, I don't know. I don't, a large part of me doesn't feel more connected to people because of this. I feel more connected when I still see somebody in person.
I think good trade-offs are, like, the field that you're in.
Sure.
Mass amount of computing power takes the crack genomics.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like something that's for the social benefit of everybody.
Well, I have to agree. I'm slightly biased, but yeah, I think you're also right too, though, that in the other things of like, I was in the lounge the other day. I have a lot of Skyline stories and it just struck me because I like to just watch people. That's one of my favorite things still. And I looked around and there was 100 people within eyesight and there must have been maybe two of us that weren't doing this. And several of them were obviously couples, you know, like people that were traveling together or married, and they're literally sitting across or right next to each other, and this is what they're doing. And I was like, I doubt your work is that important, or maybe you have to take an email. But like, I looked over, one lady, she was shopping, and her husband right next to her, he was, I don't know, he must do an Instagram or text on somebody. I was just looking around like, ain't nobody got any idea what's going on. Like, and I text all the time when I'm on Instagram and whatever, but like, I like when I'm in public to be able to look around and engage and talk, and it's so much fun. But most people, and I, you know, every year it seems like it just gets more and more of this. It's like, as your, can you imagine if we'd have been born and had these, what would we be like?
Yeah, I don't think we can even imagine it, because it's basically, if you were born with it, it's your most important tool.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because even now, it's pretty high on my list. You know, I don't often like that.
It's a weird, they're weird, not a parasite, but they're weird. Augmented. So.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard to have data against either way.
I envision the day when Richard comes and he has a Neuralink. And
yeah.
Like, why don't you get one? I'm like, that drew the line. That's a super fancy cell phone. That's as much as I want my life to be encroached on. I don't need people in my head.
I have enough people up here already.
Nobody needs to be in it. And it's just amazing. It's just water and, it's all, I don't know. That's what I've been thinking about lately.
Water's ones and zeros? Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
That might be this week's title too, by the way, because...
I've also been spending a lot of time thinking about Stranger Things. So.
You know, I'm behind on that. I'm assuming you're talking about the series.
Oh, man, yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been watching Alone Season 8 and Terminal List. Both.
I hope Terminal List picks up because it's on my next one to watch.
Oh, dude. Sitting there by myself, I'm like, oh shit, you know.
good. That's how I was in Stranger Things, and I can't remember a time when I got that involved in a movie. Like, I like Games of Thrones and everything, and I really enjoyed watching it, but like, it never really had me on the edge of my seat.
That's what everybody says. So as soon as I'm done with Terminal, I'll switch over to Stranger because I got to get caught up on that. But seems to be quality. But and I really, Alone season 8 came out on Netflix finally. I think I can watch it on Discovery or something. I think season 9 has actually started, but I like to kind of be able to watch it all when I want to. So
I think that I fell asleep and missed the end of Alone, so I have to go back and figure out where I fell asleep. No longer on my Hulu choices. So obviously I slept through it one night.
I was going to say, yeah. It happens. Yeah. Sometimes you're just, brain's just tired, man. It's not going to take it.
But it was a good episode. It's a good season this year.
I think it was good. It's pretty good. It was good people. Pretty smart folks overall.
You're watching the one on the, what's the name of the lake with the bears?
Yeah, Grizzly Mountain or whatever they call it, Chicato. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep. You think there's betting on that? There has to be betting on that somewhere, don't you think?
Oh. No, because it's not live.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I wish it was. Oh, it might be. Can you imagine that? That's almost Hunger Games kind of shit right there. But now, what if that was live? That's a must see TV right there, man. I'm getting that's in so many movies, in the past 10 or 15 years. Well, my sense of time is all jacked up. In the past 20 years.
Yeah. You're dangerously close to your 40th high school reunion?
30th, I think. 30th. Take it easy. Yeah. Yeah. I this year, actually. Yeah. 92.
Yep.
We're not that far apart in age, Richard. How could I be? Well, of course, you don't really know if you're coming up on your 20th or your 50th high school reunion.
I went to my 5-year, I think, maybe.
Oh, did you have a, I don't think we did. We have a, I think we had a 10 and a 20. I don't think I had a. I don't know. It's pretty funny when Colby and Shelly were here, they sent some, we were trading pictures, from like, oh, remember this? And one of them was me in grad school when I was at my little trailer out in Union. And I had my, let's just say I looked at least 10 years older in that picture than I do now. So that kind of makes you feel good to a degree, but the other part's like, Jesus, I was running around like that for a long time. Because it reminded me of the story, because right out, sometime in that region, I went to campus for some stuff. Like, I'd been in the mountains for a few weeks, and then I come to town, and Tim's like, hey, I need you to run the Corvallis and do some stuff. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I better sign up for parking permits and all this crap while I'm there. So I go in, and I'm getting signed up, and the lady's like, oh, well, this is odd. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, oh, they had you as a student for student parking. Let me get you shifted over to faculty parking. I'm like, oh, yeah, appreciate that. So I get faculty parking because I looked like I was 90, I wasn't one to argue. I just said, oh, can you imagine that? I really appreciate that. I didn't ever correct her, but yeah. So
get that parking close to the women's study, please.
Yeah, exactly. In my 71 Ford with a 390 and glass back headers. Yeah. I used to wake up an entire street every morning when I come in early, just wrap it up and car alarms and shit would go off. Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, I believe you're correct. It's my 30th high school reunion this summer. So I have to sneak home for roundup now, maybe.
For some reason, the class of 1957 is having their reunion this weekend in Lakeview.
This weekend?
Yes.
Why wouldn't you? I suppose. Of course. I guess class of 57, most are probably pretty rich retired, so they don't really give a shit about traveling on a holiday weekend or not.
I was going to say it. I'm pretty sure half of them are still potheads. So.
57 or what, 67?
I'm not judging, but I'm just saying, from what I said, not many of them broke out of their 57 habits, I don't think.
Probably not. You're still driving the heavy Chevy and slicking your hair back? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. 57, 67. So yeah, you're like late 60s, early 70s, right? Yeah. So you can probably go have a reunion weekend pretty much anytime because you're not probably getting off work or.
Yeah, not worried.
Yeah, beautiful. So I guess some of us are retiring already probably, but we're in a job that allows more flexibility. But, yeah, we might have to go to Lakeview now too for a roundup. That's just a makes a long month. Yeah. I love roundup, but.
Well, the guy that I sold a ranch to earlier this year, we've developed a good friendship. But anyways, I went and had a beer with him earlier this afternoon. He's got his son and his son's friend here. He was 22. And he goes, "Hey, are you going to go to the concert at the rodeo?" And I was like, "Nope." "It'll be fun." I said, "I take great pride in the fact that I have yet to see one live performance at the Lakeview Roundup and never got out of the beer garden." I'm like, changing that tradition.
Exactly.
I'm like, "Oh, you got to go see it." I'm like, "Nope, not going to do it."
I think Chris Ledoux was the last one I remember seeing, actually going to.
Yeah, and I was gone.
And that's a long, long time ago. Yeah.
I would go if it, well.
No, obviously you can't now, but yeah. Yeah.
That's the one thing I want to talk to you at the beginning. There's a kick-ass concert in Key West in January.
Oh, yeah. Whole bunch of bands, right? That one?
I'm very intrigued in. I didn't even imagine how much it would cost to go down and watch that, but after doing the hurricane in Key West, I really enjoy Key West.
Mm-hmm.
So January, it can't be that busy down there. Or I guess it is. I guess that would be when it's busy.
It'd be decently busy probably, but that concert usually comes, you can get like a pretty good package deal as far as tickets and hotel.
Okay.
Yeah. So keep it on the radar. It'd be fun. It's like a weird name, but there's always about 15 to 30 bands. It seems like they're there.
The end of one. It has something to do with the end of the, because that's where the road ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I've it's been on my list for several years. I just haven't done it yet. So
the only downfall is my bucket goal is to see Jimmy Buffett before he kicks off to the great beyond.
I think we need to really put that high on the list.
Yeah. And oh, I miss Pat Green.
Yeah.
In Reno. And then
are you kidding me?
Yeah. I missed him. So.
Dang it.
Also on my bucket list. But
Pat's good. R.E.K. is good.
Yeah, the priority for Pat, I can stretch that out a few more years.
Yeah, I think he's all right. I'd put Jimmy slightly higher. I hear he still does a great show. Yeah.
In a class of 57.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, we need to find a Jimmy Buffett show, dude. That's high on the list. I think that needs to be addressed. In my humble opinion, yeah.
Maybe do it upright and go to the Mobile Alabama.
Mobile Alabama. Oh, that's not too far from here. That's only about, 7 or 8 hours, I guess, to Mobile? Maybe less, something like that.
Oh, it can't be that far, is it?
No, it's not that far. You're right, because it's only 12 hours to my dad's house, so it's probably 6 hours.
Yeah, once you get out of the panhandle, you're like...
Once you get out of the panhandle, it's like tink, 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 Texas. Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird, it is a long ways. 5 hours, 18 minutes to Mobile. So.
And then other cool Florida news. One of my favorite YouTube personalities just moved there from Montreal, Canada.
Oh, there. Who?
Lawyer guy.
Who?
He's Viva Fry. He's a lawyer.
Oh.
Lives up in Canada, and he quit the law and he started a YouTube channel where he just breaks down all the interesting court cases that are going on across the country.
I've not seen him yet.
They were giving him grief about coming back from the United States. He was down at the Freedom Fest. So the Freedom Fest was just last weekend in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Libertarian gathering. So he was down there and he must have had it in the works already, but he got back and Canada called about his 12-year-old, one of his kids, not being in quarantine from coming back. And that was like 4 or 5 days ago, he did a little thing on that. And just, he played the whole call, which probably pissed off Trudeau, dictator Trudeau.
Yeah.
Anyways, now he's in Florida and American citizen.
Well, welcome. Welcome home, son. Yeah.
Yeah, he did, just loaded up the 2 dogs and the 3 kids and the Subaru and a little trailer and bye-bye Canada.
Later, eh? Yeah.
And I think Jordan Peterson moved to the United States. He just started on the Daily Wire.
Oh, no kidding. I have not kept up with Jordan. I like his. He's just a smart cat. He's just interesting as hell.
His Daily Wire, he does about 2, like, it wasn't, oh, he's a libertarian guy that was on Crossfire.
Crossfire? Oh, my God. That's
William Buckley.
William F. Buckley. Yeah.
You know when he used to do the little segments where he just got to talk for like 10 minutes?
He'd go, whoosh, like turn the chair like to the camera. You know, that guy? Yeah.
So, Jordan Peterson has that for the Daily Wire about twice a week. It's amazing.
Oh.
So.
I dig it. I need to check it out. Yeah, I used to. Does he have a podcast? I think he has a podcast too, doesn't he? Doesn't Jordan? Yeah.
Watch it on YouTube sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I listen to him. I like him on Rogan too, because he's just all over like a fart in a skillet, but it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So you heard it. Do you know about the story of him going to Russia?
Who? Jordan?
Yeah.
No.
When his wife got cancer and it was right during after he stood the Canadian government down on having illegally have to call people by their preferred pronouns.
Oh, yeah.
And he sort of started getting some notoriety. He was traveling a lot, and his wife was dying of cancer, and his daughter has a weird autoimmune deal. He has a weird autoimmune deal.
Yeah.
Anyways, he got on some drug that's a prescription drug. I think it's some sort of barbiturate that's like nearly impossible to kick. And he thought he'd be able to get off of it, and it just increasingly like deteriorated the quality of his life. And there's no real remedy to it. Like, people that get on it, and I wish I could remember the name of the drug.
I think I heard this on his podcast or when he's talking to Rogan or somebody.
Yeah. Anyways, so he had to go to this intensive thing in Russia where they figured out how to get people off of it and like detox times 10. And like, he nearly died. Started getting better.
Yeah.
Is that scary that there's a drug like that that's out there?
Oh, tremendously. Yeah, that it would just lock in that tight. Didn't he have to do like some, or didn't he do some like psychosomatic stuff or things like that to get back on the right track? I think it was like really, really radical things he had to go through.
It's like one of the smartest people you'll ever listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so scary.
Anyways, you think fentanyl is bad? The cash that you can get prescribed to you by the doctor is just as scary.
Mm. No, thank you, man. Yeah.
So, anyways.
Precisely. Yeah. Well, I know neither one of us watched the movie we're supposed to do, but I think I would suggest one thought is, have we done it before? Chinatown? Have we done that movie before?
No, I don't think we have. I'd go back and watch that one.
I think that would be good. Talking about your water stuff, I was like, there's a lot of movies about water, but I think that's probably one of the more.
Aaron Brockovich.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The second season of Goliath.
Which one is the, is it the verdict? Which one is it with the water around the tanning factory in like Pennsylvania? Is that the verdict?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember that one?
Well, and then the whole, first season of Jack Reacher was about water.
Yeah, you're right. Holy crap. Water. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was good. They did a good job on that too.
That guy's such a badass. I like they play the clips all the time and you just watch him beat the shit out of people. Best part of the whole show.
With enthusiasm and quite efficiently, I might add. Yes. That's why I have to commend Chris Pratt on Terminal List. The guy's done well. He really committed to this Done. Yeah, it's impressive. I freaking goosebumping right now. Yeah.
I'm amazed at the quality of stuff like Netflix and Prime and Hulu, and they got some really good, amazing shows and like better than movies. But it's weird that we had this thing for all along, these sitcoms and these like I like Boston Legal, but there was no concurrent thread of the story. And having these like six episode long, like hour and a half to tell a story, it just makes it so much better.
The resources they're putting into it and the quality of the writing and like everything, you're just like, holy crap, like this is what it's about, man. Yeah, you feel pretty lucky in that regard.
But once again, we're burning a tremendous amount of water to have it on the servers.
Bastards. Yeah, I gotta look into that more, man. I'm really intrigued by that. That seems like if you're gonna run that water, and if you're gonna evap, at least catch the steam and do something with the water, or heat homes, or heat your building, or I don't know. That just really blows my mind.
Well, here's the ironic thing: is there's data centers in Las Vegas.
Yeah. True. What the hell?
Yeah. And there's different types of data centers.
Sure. But
I think at some level, they all need a certain amount of water. Some of them are really highly water intensive, like the bigger Facebook and Google ones.
Mm-hmm.
Really water intensive. Amazon, the ones that they're worried about at Columbia are Google and Amazon. And then on top of that, to get them to come and put the data centers in and take their water, they're giving them like huge tax breaks.
Oh, yeah, dude. Absolutely. Which... Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, okay, I think that's good industry if they're hiring people and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, if it's an overall huge drain and the resources like that, when it, you know, you give me choice between a data farm and a corn farm, we should take the corn farm.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Wow. Could have done without that. I'm just kidding. Thanks for nothing, Richard. Yeah. Dirtbag. No, just kidding.
Don't worry. I'll get on to something else in another 6 weeks.
No, I'll be good. I think that's the thing though, dude. I mean, like, it's so easy, I think, for me, especially, just ignore all that stuff and, you know, oh, I'm happy today. Do. Or what am I going to do about it anyways? What am I, I have to use Facebook 10% less so we can save more water. But those are things that have to be addressed on the grand scale, I think. Again, like electric cars and the grid and other sources of energy and, you know, all that fun stuff. So food safety, et cetera.
Thank God we based all that bandwidth on the January 6th trials.
It's pretty important. Yeah. Like, it wasn't in the day. What was it? Where were they at? Somewhere. Was it South America? Like, they showed, like, people literally storming the castle and the guy resigned. I'm like, well, that looks more like that's an insurgency. Like,
oh, Sri Lanka.
Yeah, Sri Lanka. That's where it was at. I wanted to say Peru, but it wasn't Peru. Sri Lanka. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, nothing about January 6th adds up. Like, there was probably more FBI agents in the crowd than anybody else. Anyway, we won't go down that road, but... it's ridiculous. Hey, look at this over here. This is the one, you know, stabbing you in the back. Yeah.
Oh, I got the best one. I thought was about a month and a half ago. They had a rally in Coeur d'Alene. So, here's what I thought was interesting about it. A lot of spooks, Army intelligence, and like high level military guys. That's where they retired to.
Mm-hmm.
Also very near to like the biggest, what like in the 90s was the biggest concentration of like sort of militant militias, like
very true. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
anyway, so they have a big rally in Coeur d'Alene. I don't know what the hell it was about, but they arrested 30 Freedom Front guys. Now nobody knew who any of these guys were. They were all in an RV, not an RV, in a moving van. They got arrested. They took him out. They had the khaki pants on and the blue polo shirts and the bandanas and the khaki hat and the combat boots, just like they had in that Washington rally where they were hanging around. But if you were in Coeur d'Alene, Washington, and you were at the intersection of some of the most educated or some of the most informed military people over the last 30 years, and you're at the intersection of some of the most sturgeon militias, and neither of those two group of people know group that got arrested are or any of the members of it.
Mm-hmm.
Some really interesting questions.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. So. Those people, I don't recognize them at all. Like, they're not part of this community around here. Yeah.
On either side.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. Nothing is ever what it says it is, for one. I mean, that's pretty easy to figure that out, as we've seen over the years. Oh, yeah, it's just a waste of resources. An absolute waste of resources and time. Morons. Just saying. Let's see. So we talked about Entertainment Spotlight. We could do that. We talked about some movies we've been watching, which I think is good too. So I guess we're gonna roll up with a happy ending, and you know, since we're kind of weaning back into all things Reaching, I think that would be good if we finish her off with the old happy ending, if that works for you.
That'll work.
What do you got?
Oh, hell, we've already gone more than an hour. We're doing good.
Oh, I'm pretty impressed, actually. Yeah, that's you know, it's always a good time when you don't realize how much time's going over.
Wasn't the most structured conversation.
I think for you and I, it's been pretty structured. Not bad at all. Yeah.
What do I got? We're going into summer. We're right in the heat of it.
Never done that before. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I've been having a wonderful time. I've been acclimating. And so no air conditioners.
Oh.
Get in so that it doesn't bug me that much.
It's just you get a little sweat, and you got a fan. It's not bad.
Yeah. Oh, I got a hell of a box fan in my room, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to listen to the TV at 90 decibels.
But, I was just going to say, because it's yep, nothing's ever perfect, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so summer's clicking right along. Got plenty of cow feed, and they're having to chew through it, and fat and bored. And so
that's good.
Occasionally, they mount a giant escape, just not because they need feed, but I think they're just losing their minds.
They just want to see, yeah, they get bored, or they're just because they can.
I do believe that there's too much of a good thing.
It happens.
Yeah. And real estate's going good. I think that it's going to change a little bit, but still holding pretty tight in the rural markets. And just a lot of really fun. Been meeting a lot of really fun people through real estate. So
that's awesome. That's that long term network. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I hope that. I almost feel like talking politics will degenerate the podcast, but I want this regime that we have currently to run its course so that we can start like making some sort of recovery.
And mm-hmm.
I don't know that it'll be possible with the Republicans either, but
doubtful.
The trash that we have in politics now, just America is like, I feel like we're this huge engine and like we could be like running like a raped ape. That's probably not politically correct, but
that's okay. Like
kicking ass and taking names globally. We don't have to be policing the world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
bringing our industries back, we could really be creating a lot of wealth for our generation, the millennials and the Generation Z and whatever the hell Richard's generation is going to be. And we could really be doing it. We could be creating this great economic foundation that's going to make us prosperous. And we got these dickheads in Washington and whatever the female, I can't even say, we'll get kicked off if I see, say the female version of politics, but they're like pouring sugar in the gas tank.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And whatever wealth they're garnishing from it is a micro percentage of what we could be doing if we're falling full sail as a company.
Mm-hmm.
We've got these corrupt assholes. We got 100 of them in the Senate and 300 and some in the Congress, and whatever mess they got going on in the White House. And it's all about enriching themselves. And they're
100%.
They're too dumb to have the money anyways.
That is the key thing, you know, and why there should be quarterly audits of everybody released. I still agree it should be like jury duty to go to Congress for one. It should be like, oh crap, I got Congress. Two, yeah. They always talk about there being the leadership. No, you're not. You're the representation of us. We are the leadership. You know, as soon as we started letting that crap happen, and anybody being in there until they're freaking 80 years old, and everybody's financial dealings, you're like, no, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't pass sniff test. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. It's absolutely out of control. It's sad. The fact
that Hunter Biden is not in prison.
Yes.
Is absolutely, and the Nancy Pelosi's husband.
Yeah, that was absolutely right. Paul's buying millions of dollars of stock. Right before a big deal.
Yeah.
Hunter should be in jail like 9 times over, dude, from everything from like lying on a gun application all the way to all the video, everything else that he's done. Like, can you imagine, man? Yeah.
So I don't know when we're going to wake up as a country and get rid of these guys, but we have to do something different. And I think we talked about the lottery system or like a jury system, and the data on the lottery systems for running a democracy is pretty favorable, that you don't get that many assholes, and the people that do get picked, reluctant or not, tend to are conscientious about the job that they've been assigned. So
absolutely right.
I don't care if they're conscientious and the most left-leaning person.
Not at all.
At least you're probably not going to – I don't think you're going to sell people out. I think 98% of Americans won't sell their fellow American out. Mm-hmm. We just happen to have the 2% of them that have no problem doing it running the country right
now. Absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that's the sad part. Yeah, and like my point too, like, you know, it shouldn't take – well, it's the famous, we have to pass this bill before we can know what's in it.
Yeah.
No, there should be no things that are like that long. Does yes mean yes? Does yes mean no? Shouldn't take 18,000 lawyers to write a law. Like, it should be simple enough and straightforward enough that the average person you drag off the street and say, congratulations, you're in Congress, can write the law that describes what's going to happen.
I think a law should fit on one page.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
That's core. It should be that simple.
Yeah. Precisely. If it's not, you're not doing it right. There's too much other crap in that thing if it takes more than that to talk about it.
Like, Jeff Bezos won't take a memo over one page.
Yeah. Why should it take that long? You know, like, it's either corrupt or you haven't thought about it.
Like, with real estate, you'll get these offers with these 2 or 3 page memorandums. And I just tell my clients, I'm like, we should just find another buyer.
There's too much crap here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's too complicated. It's too complex. And I know some people like to live in that world, but it's not healthy for any of us.
No, I mean, that's what makes them feel special. That's a little pawn. They've got their lawyers. They got their team. They do whatever. Like, congratulations. But yeah, that's, again, we make it too complex because it's corrupt usually. And that's the point. Or, you know, it's not as, I'm going to try to get one over on you, basically. Like, oh, you didn't sign this on a Thursday in the third lunar phase of the red pen at these coordinates, so therefore it's null and void.
It's amazing. Even I myself, often overcomplicate relatively simple things. I have to have somebody come smack me on the back of the head and say, you're an idiot. This is the elegancy of simplicity. Mm-hmm. And you've just added layers on this that are completely unnecessary. And I've come to the firm belief that the simpler you can make anything.
Anything. Yeah. That's, I smack myself with that all the time. It used to be on my email. Now I just put it on my, any agenda that I have is still Micah's rules of order is simple is best, never assume, and start at the beginning. Yeah. Because usually when I hose something up, it's because I ignored one or all of those tenets of thought. But simple being the first one of like, man, how easily we just overcomplicate crap every single time you dive into it.
But healthy adults can recognize that and move on.
True. I guess I'll give myself that as well. Yeah, like, hey, dummy, what are you doing?
Healthy children can recognize that and move on.
That's better. Healthy children, I prefer that. Yeah.
I'll let you do your wrap up. That's my rant for the end of the
show. I like it. No, I think for me, happy ending is just having Colby Chell come down for a few days to hang out. That was way cool. I hadn't seen him. Like, just we'll run into each other around it, but it's like 10 minutes between, you know, this thing starting and that thing ending or whatever. So just to come relax for a few days, show them around Gainesville a little bit. And then other people I've been getting to hang out with, pretty much enjoy that very much too. And this, getting the chance to get back on here and see the Richard. I know Joel's traveling tonight or tomorrow, so he'll probably be back next time. Rawls is probably finishing up hay, so that'll all be coming through. So I'll try to get this more on a scheduled basis. And again, we want to thank everybody at B&K. Had some good texts with Bo the other day. We'll have him back on for FRX real soon. Another Far Reaches extra. So
looks like Buster might be either crawling or walking. So
what's that?
Looks like Buster Bigsby's either crawling or walking.
So yes, that's the sense I got. So I'm sure
things in the Rawls household is probably pretty rapid right now.
Yeah, I started to laugh so much, but it's hard not to laugh at that. So yeah. Indeed, yeah. So I think
my hair is rapidly turning gray, and it started as soon as I had a child.
Yeah, I believe the phrase is "you are aging me horribly." What is wrong with you? Yes. Oh, it's beautiful.
But well, it's worth it. The conversations with a 4-year-old are enlightening.
There's the title of a book right there, man. Conversations with a 4-year-old. That could be good. Yeah.
You really have to, there's questions occasionally that are asked that you say, I don't know why that is the way it is. That is the way it is. And I don't have the mental bandwidth to try and figure it out for you right now, but I'll keep working on it.
But I'll jot that down. And, you know, sometimes things just are what they are, but I'll be working on that. Probably think about that first thing in the morning or right when I'm showering or something. Yeah. So, oh, that's just awesome. Because. Yeah. Because it's like, not because I say so, just because that's the way it is. Like, I don't know why yet. I don't know much. Oh, well, I think with that, we'll be again, some wrapping up, if that's good with you.
Yep. 30 more days till Mongolia.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even that far. Is it? Is it 30 days? Like the 17th, yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, we'll have Amy and Shandy on hopefully one more time at least before they take off for that. We had a fun episode a few weeks ago with them on the Far Reaches Extra. So we'll try to maybe we'll get one with the whole herd next time. That'll be fun. So they'll be getting prepared to go fresh around that part of the world.
Mongolia, there'll be no shit from Joel.
What's that?
They'll be fresh back from Mongolia. There'll be no bullshit from Joel.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, that's when we got to like range it like Pendleton. We can have a live Far Reaches Extra between Joel and Amy and Shandy. That would be awesome.
Are you going back for Pendleton?
I suspect he will. Yeah, I don't know if he's. I haven't heard if he's not, but I guess he would. Yeah.
Oh. All right. I'll stop talking and let you wrap this up.
Gotta save something for next time, Richard. No. Again, we'll talk about Chinatown next time. I think it relates well to the current water situation. There's obviously, as we touched on briefly, quite a few other instances as well, but I think It's a pretty entertaining movie because, you know, it's got Jack in it, and I don't remember who directed it, but it's quite well done. But it is eventually focused around all things water, so it was pretty interesting on that one.
Brian De Palma.
Brian, that's right. Thank you, Richard. Yeah, exactly. So we'll go from that. We're going to end this Facebook Live here real quick, too, before I forget. Apparently, it was running in the background. Usually, I can, like, see it on another window on Facebook Live, but it was going guano, so I stopped it, but it was still recording, apparently, early on Facebook Live. So glad everybody. If you're wondering why I didn't respond to any comments, if there was any, it's because I didn't see them. So
we're out of practice.
It happens. Yeah, a little rusty. I've been switching the teams at work. It's a whole mess. I got two separate brains now, one for Zoom at home and one for Teams at work. So anyways, that's first world problems, I know, too. But hey, until then, keep the mail coming. Keep the comments coming. We appreciate everybody. We really appreciate you missing us when we're gone. Like, no kidding. I mean, I kind of tease about that. But that this means the world that you, A, listen, and B, you care about what we say, and you miss us when we're not there. So keep your feedback coming. We will get back on track again because we're humans just like everybody else and have crazy things going on in our lives, travel and work and chaos. And so we'll go from there. Until next time, we'll see you soon and keep on reaching.